My name's Tony Lloyd. I'm what's called the Police and Crime Commissioner. I was for 30 years a member of our National Parliament, and I stood down from Parliament to stand for election as the Police and Crime Commissioner. What my role is really is a number of things. One, it's to have oversight on behalf of the wider public, both policing and more generally the making our communities safe and safer places for people to live in. So it's working with the police, but it's working with lots of other public agencies and with the voluntary sector to try to build community safety. So, for example, some of the things that are happening here in Greater Manchester may well be happening in parts of Germany as well. But increasingly, if we want to make places like Blakely, Cheetham Hill safe for people to live in, it's not just about having the police there. We've got to make sure that the police have a respectful relationship with local people, particularly the local young people. We've got to make sure that the police are working in partnership with the city council that Paul comes in. So it's that sort of thing. It's having oversight of policing. It's making sure we've got a police force that's professional, serves the public interest, and also performs with a smaller amount of money that the government gives us it every year.
I'm one of 96 councillors in the city of Manchester. I represent the Northern Ward, which is Moston, New Moston area. It was the industrial part of Manchester. I've held a number of senior roles during the tenure. I've been a councillor over 20 years. I then transferred some of my efforts into policing, and I was the predecessor from Tony. And I always tell the same message, if I can make it, anybody can.
My name is Ramazan, and my question are, what kind of decision can you make and what difference can you make?
In the main, it's influencing, the difference you try to make is influencing what goes on directly in the area in which you live. The area needs to be kept tidy, it needs to be crime-free, which is where our relationship is very close. We try to engender investment into areas via small businesses because they're the people that create employment. On a daily basis, we are engaged. In fact, I was in this morning early dealing with two what we call advice cases, where people have come along either to an advice bureau or they've actually contacted us by email, which is predominantly how people complain now, or make a representation, and deal with serious issues around education, or deal with serious issues around care, for example. How do I make a difference in that area? Well, I think mainly is to ensure that there is sufficient funding available to meet the requirements of the people I represent. That is becoming increasingly difficult. The government have been particularly vicious with the city of Manchester, which is predominantly a socialist area. We've returned to socialist government in Manchester for the past 35, 40 years. So we're getting a harsh deal from a reaction from the right, if you like. But we will cope with it and we'll do our very, very best. And that's what we do. We do try to make that difference. One of the differences I think I made was the FC United issue, which was a massive issue in Moston in particular, and in Manchester Manchester generally, but Moston specifically. It was a tremendous battle. It cost me quite a lot of votes, but I believed it was the right thing to do. I put the votes to one side because I believed the principle was more important than votes. And I said at the time publicly, if I'd lost, I would have taken it on the chin.
Like with Paul Murphy, I have to make the financial decisions about where we spend resources. So how many police officers do we employ? But they're putting money, for example, just down the road from here, there is something called the St Mary's Rape Crisis Centre, and about £1 million of the police budget goes into supporting that centre, because this is about supporting people who've been victims of serious sexual violence. So it's making those kind of choices that I have to be part of. It's being a voice for ordinary people. So if somebody thinks something has gone wrong with policing, then I have to be there to listen to that, but also to ask for answers from the police as to what's gone wrong. Sometimes to have an oversight role. We had somebody killed in Manchester last week when the police used a taser. You know this thing, a taser? Yeah. And So I, at the proper time, will say to the chief constable who has the operational control of the police, for him to excuse me, to justify how and when the things like tasers are used, to make sure that they're used in a way that prevents risk to members of the public compared to other things. And with this, you know, for example, actually a taser is probably a safer thing to use than things like CS gas, but it's very sad when somebody ends up dying when a taser's used. So it's that sort of oversight role. It's also building partnerships with other agencies.
Hello, my name is Jane and I'm part of the Manchester Youth Council, and we make decisions, we find issues in Greater Manchester and bring them back to the Youth Council. My question is, what are your thoughts about the police right to stop and search?
It is an important part of the law. It is really important that the police have the power to stop and search, because if police officer sees somebody around the corner, they think they've just put a knife in the pocket. You couldn't say there's no right to stop them with reasonable suspicion that they've got a dangerous weapon in the pocket, because that actually might save you being stabbed. But the problem comes is if we give the police this power, and instead of using it reasonably for the kind of thing I've talked about, they use it unreasonably to say, don't like the look of this guy here, we're going to stop him, we're going to make his life a little bit difficult. And that's been the problem in the past, is that we know, for many years I represented in Parliament the area called Moss Side, which some of you, well, the Manchester people will know, very high numbers of black people live in that area, and we know that the number of black people stopped under stop and search was much higher than for the population generally. We know it applies to young Asian kids now with the same sort of thing. So we know there's a problem with stop and search. And so what do you do about it? Well, you've got to, if we say we need to keep the power because it's necessary sometimes for it to be used, what we've just brought in, and this really owes more to Paul than to me, is a new system whereby when the police are going to stop somebody, they've got to radio in to a control centre. They've got to say why they're going to stop the person. They've got to, it's on the radio, it's on, it can be heard all the way through, and if necessary, it can be played back later on. So, because when I've talked to people over the years, I've never been stopped and searched. I have been stopped, but I've never been stopped and searched. But when I've talked to people, what most people would say to me is this, is they understand why you give the police this very strong power. But it is a strong power, being stopped and being, you know, and being asked to, you know, empty pockets to be shaken down, to, you know, and all the rest is a real power we give to the police. It's got to be done politely, and it's got to be done respectfully, and it's got to be done where there is a reason. And okay, so you get stopped, you know, I thought you got a knife after it stopped and searched you, there's no knife there, then I should, well, look, thank you very much for taking part in this. I'm sorry that it's inconvenienced you. You understand, I hope, why we're doing it. It's keep this area safe. So that's the logic behind it, but it's got to be done with respect. It's got to be done with recognition. This is an extraordinary power, and one that's got to be justified in its use, and it's got to be done in a way that gives dignity to the person being stopped.
This is a question for Councillor Murphy. After all the meetings you had to go to about the new FC United ground in Mostyn, did you ever wish the club was building it in a different ward?
Great question. It was a question, I mean, I can answer that very, very straightforwardly. It was a question of principle. I have a view, which I express to members of the public more frequently than I'd like to, and that is this, that because we disagree, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong. It just simply means that we disagree. The intellectual perspective needs to be put to one side, because this was about the philosophy of young people being properly engaged in a community. It was also about a football club, which was a cooperative, I think you'd be able to interpret that, which we felt was vitally important to actually be placed on a playing field that was really not used very well. And there was an outcry, the likes of which I don't think we've seen for years, Tony, have we? I mean, there was a real hysterical outcry. No, there was hysteria. Some of the emails and the correspondence and the phone calls, which myself and Rita Tavner, my colleague, were subject to, was bordered on the criminal. Bordered on the criminal. And in fact, the leader of this council, Sir Richard Leese, had to issue a threat of a writ to one of the proponents who was writing to us in a very threatening way. As I said, I can only repeat, I don't regret at all supporting FC United. In fact, I'm proud to have done so. I believed it is the right decision, and I wish they'd build the bloody thing, because it's driving me mad at the moment, because people are now saying they don't have any money, it was all a con, etc. And that's causing me probably more grief than the clarity of thought that I had around why I was supporting FC United and its importance. I believe it's right. I believe it'll be a massive boost to the community in Moston, a massive boost for it socially and recreationally. And I'm proud to have supported it. I did that on the year I was up for election, which was a pretty risky thing to do, as Tony will tell you, having done it himself a few times. But I put the principle first, and I made clear in public meetings that if I lost my seat, I would accept it, but at least I'd be able to walk with my head held high.
Has the reduction in youth services had an impact on the way police work?
Yes, is the answer, because, I mean, it's almost the other... the other end to the question before about how do we keep young people engaged in good things. If you reduce the youth service, if you reduce activity for people to, young people to be engaged in things they want to be, if we leave them to roam the streets, if we leave them to knock around with an unconstructive way, there's a number of things happen actually. One thing is that older people become suspicious of them. They wonder what's going on, and so the police will get called in, even though young people are not doing anything wrong, maybe. The older people think, oh, this is terrible, 10 young guys knocking around here, it's all very frightening. So that causes problems of itself, but also, of course, some young people do get pulled into different things. The only thing I would say, though, is that, I think you'd agree with me on this, Paul, is that actually, the youth service provided by the council, I never thought was amazing. I think actually it's the kind of stuff that you're seeing with FC United, the stuff that voluntary groups do, is always been a lot better for young people. The only problem is that the money's been pulled out of that as well, because a lot of the support for those voluntary groups came from the council.
It's a difficult area, and it's often not helpful to be critical of one's own organisation, because what it does say is that our governance of it was pretty poor. I think that was true. In Moston, for example, where FC United will arrive hopefully soon, we had no youth services at all, very minor ones. And when I say minor, half a dozen people. But I do think one thing I do agree with emphatically, with the point that Tony makes, I think that what we have is a very intolerant ageing population, a population that's forgotten that they were young once and they were doing exactly the same thing, and they've lost the plot in a lot of cases, and I have to tell people that frequently, that say that a youth playing football, really, well, when those youths actually are drug dealing or actually taking drugs or causing serious come and see me serious disorder, because playing football isn't an offence. And most importantly of all, I think I say to them, being young isn't an offence either, and you need to remember that as old people.
I have a question for Tony. Why did you give up being MP?
Very, very simply, really, because I'd spent nearly 30 years in our parliament, and I'd done everything really I could do. I'd been a minister in the government, I'd been the chair of the Parliamentary Labour Party, I'd been all manner of different things, I'd led delegations to all manner of international bodies. And when they decided to have an election for the police commissioner role, there had to be a limited number of people who could have done it in effect, from the Labour Party's point of view. Paul could have done it for those reasons I decided to make this change, because it's an important job. Keeping our communities safe is a really important job. It's, you know, wherever you live, you want to live in a safe home, your family are safe community, safe city, safe country. And so I think doing this is something that's worth doing.
Do the police have a robust compliance procedure that has real credibility?
Not yet. The complaints process for the police very often has the police investigating the police, and even if what they do is good, people don't believe it's good. So I want to bring in some independent element, something that looks like it's not the police looking at when things go wrong, because, you know, things do go wrong in every walk of life. Not every police officer really should be a police officer, we know that. So we've got to have something that gives people confidence that if they say, you know, this went wrong, that we can look at what went wrong and deal with it, which may be training somebody, it may be getting them to apologise, it may be some form of disciplinary event. It may in the end mean somebody being kicked out of the police force, which happens from time to time. So we've got to have independence in the way we do these things, otherwise people don't trust that it's a fair process.
Do you support lowering the age when young people can vote?
Yes, I do. In fact, Paul and I are both from the Labour Party, and our party, in any case, has a policy to lower the voting age to 16. But in actual fact, there are good reasons for this, because there are lots of good reasons, actually. One is this. Very often, by the time people reach 18, they've left school, they're no longer... they're not given any... education around what the voting looks like, and that means when they first have the chance to vote, they think, oh well, it's irrelevant, it doesn't make any difference. If we did this at 16, in the run-up to them being 16, they could actually say, look, this is what the election is about, this is why it matters. You know, maybe an issue like FC United, you've got one councillor here who is going to support this, and you've got somebody who wants to stand against him who is against this. So actually, it would give people of that age group a chance to have their voice put forward, and not just to be dominated by those who are older. So I think there are good reasons for doing it.
Yeah, I very much support the age of 16 for voting, and I think Tony's right. And I'll give you the reason why I'm very emphatic about this. Whenever I've attended meetings in the secondary schools in Manchester, where young people are engaged in the political process and the education process, they are always a far more vibrant group than any meetings, and their interests are eclectic. They're across the piece, unlike public meetings you go to, which are very specific about their problems, and once their problems have been solved, then you never see people again. Young people, actually, I think, have got a more holistic approach. I don't know how you explain that. So that's the reason that I support it. I think that also, once they begin to vote, I believe they'll hold it up. And the last point is, I think that it would be vital that 16-year-olds vote in big numbers and show up the parents and the grandparents, who frankly don't vote in big numbers at all, do they? So it's a great opportunity for young people to say to their parents, you really are a disgrace when it comes to democracy.
Also a question for you both. What can you do to prevent young people becoming involved in crime?
Well, look, I mean, you know, things like FC United are really important. Young people don't start off being criminals. Young people start off wanting to be engaged with other young people, and if we give everyone the opportunity to do constructive things, they'll do constructive things. If we give them no opportunity to do constructive things, they'll do bad things. And it's not finding things for people to do, it's finding legitimate, proper things, things that really make a difference in their lives, which is why Paul supported FC United, but I've always supported FC United. But as with other things for young people, because we know that that's what makes a real difference in giving people ambition in life, and proper ambitions, the ambition to win things in sport, but actually ambitions to be a good colleague, a good teammate, a good human being. That's what it's all about.